You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now we'll start this off. I'm not sure how far we'll get because you're ill, Don.
No, I'm all right.
No, you're not. You're ill. But Phoebe said she'd be here, so maybe she can come in and do the swing shift. So,
no, well, what's her name?
What's wrong with you? You've been
well.
Out.
I've got the, I was burning.
Have you
a
got
stump? A
stump. COVID.
No, burning a stump. You wouldn't have done this before, but you've got to keep the fire going when you try to burn a stump.
So
I was going from a hot house to the cold through the night, trying to keep this stump fire burning.
Speaking of burning stumps,
yes.
I was told something I didn't know, and I tell you who told me. Your girlfriend told me.
Oh, yeah?
She said, you're listening?
Yep.
Did you know this, that you are not allowed to cut up fallen trees in the forest or wherever they fall? Did you know you're not allowed to cut them up? Because the conservationists and the people who are responsible for the parks and gardens, they say they are the habitat, potential habitat of animals who nestle or burrow or live or habitate?
Yeah,
cohabit in the logs, and you're not allowed to cut them up and remove them. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know, but I do not cut down dead trees because they may be a refuge or a nesting place for parrots or things along that line, but I do cut up anything that has fallen.
Will you? That's against the law. Oh, your girlfriend told me.
That's too bad.
Too bad.
It's too bad because
do you know
what
they
it
come
does
around
is
and they tag them.
It does encourage other things to come around, such as if you were to do that, your property would fall into disrepair.
Well,
there would be
Don,
blackberries, there'd be foxes, there'd be rabbits, there'd be snakes. If you didn't...
That's the habitat of
I'm
fallen
sorry.
Logs and trees. And, of course, this is what accentuates, and I know you agree with this, this is what accentuates the ground cover that is the fuel for forest fires and bushfires.
That's right.
As I say, I didn't know that, but Miss Stanley has told us, Miss Stanley, that's your girlfriend, isn't it? Miss Stanley said that that is a fact, and the council workers and people responsible come round and tag fallen trees so that people can be identified who cut them up.
Well, I wish the bloody council, I've mentioned this before, the Shire at Mornington would take away all the trees that fell, I think about 18 months ago when we had a horrendous windstorm. They're sitting on the shoulder of the road. Someone's going to kill themselves. All they have to do is just veer a little bit to the left.
Speaking
and they would take themselves out. The logs are cut up right to the shoulder of the road.
Speaking of people who have died on the roads. Have you ever... Okay, so Mr. Brett Button, not Brett Sutton, don't be get confused with the discredited former health officer.
Because he's now head of the CS.
Don't get confused with the discredited former health officer of this state, but Brett Button drove a bus too quickly, which it overturned and killed 10 people on it. Now, this, I know you'll say this is a generalisation, and it is, but this is where the police have got their priorities absolutely in the wrong order. Rather than pinging people for doing 46K in a 40 zone or worrying about petty traffic infringements, the greatest menace on the roads, and I know I've said this before, are people who drive heavy transport vehicles, trucks, who drive over the speed limit, who zigzag in and out of traffic, B-doubles included, who tailgate, who drive up behind people who get intimidated by their size. They are the greatest menace on the roads. And this man...
Hang on,
this
you're
man,
being a little bit...
I said I'm generalising.
Yes, okay, good.
There's some responsible
good.
People. Usually they're responsible for the well-known trucking companies like Lynn Fox and toll because they can be easily identified if they transgress too many road rules. But there are, you know as well as I do, they drive at ridiculous speeds. They drive in zigzag in and out of lanes as though they're driving sedans, and they are the greatest menace on the roads. And this man who drove the bus too quickly, overturned it, and killed 10 people. Think of the people who were at the wedding, who were at the wedding of, let me tell you who got married. Michael Godfrey, I think his name was Godfrey, and Madeline Edsel. Their wedding. What a way to start off your married life. The people come along to the wedding and they are being responsible, so they'll all go in a bus because they've probably had too much to drink and they don't want to drive their cars. They're doing the responsible thing. And the two married people who get, they wake up or they are suddenly told on the eve of their honeymoon, the 10 people that came to their wedding are now dead. I mean, honestly and truly, those people will probably never get over that, let alone the families of the people who are dead because the man was speeding. And I say it's an endemic thing with transport drivers and truck drivers. I know it's a generalisation and there's some very responsible ones, but you know as well as I do that there are so many truck drivers and heavy transport people who just are disgraceful the way they drive their trucks, and they should be... should be a blitz on them because they are doing more damage than most people who transgress all the other road rules.
What about on a lighter note?
Yes.
What are you taking to Ricky Nixon's party, birthday party? Your name's been mentioned on the guest list.
And
are you going?
Well, there was a conflict there. I was asked to go to Warwick Capper's as well, and they were going to do a joint birthday, but now there's some angst between the two of them, and it's
called publicity.
It's guns at 10 paces.
Is that
revolvers.
Publicity?
Well, no, I think
both wanting to get their name in the media.
Well, Warwick says that a woman's magazine, I'm not sure if it's Woman's Day or Woman's Weekly, I don't know if those still go in those magazines, but he says that they have commissioned him, he's been retained by one of the women's magazines to come and canvas and cover his birthday celebrations with all rock stars and pop stars and entertainers and sports people. And Phoebe might be going to cover it. I don't know. Maybe we'll ask her when she comes in. Well, I've got a question to ask her.
I don't think Warwick is an A-lister.
Well, he says he is.
Oh, does he?
Oh, he says he is. Oh. My word, he does. He says he's an A-lister. So am
How'd
I going
your game
to...
of golf go last week too?
Now, hang on a minute, Don. What?
Your game of golf last week. We got in here very, very early for
you. Hang on a minute.
Your doctor's appointment, wasn't it? Yes, I did.
I'll tell you about a game of golf. Oh. I'll tell you about...
What about the doctor's appointment last week?
I went and saw the doctor.
Oh, what, on the way to the golf?
After the golf.
After the game. So I had to get up at 5:30 so you could go and see the doctor.
That's right, or else I couldn't have seen it. I couldn't have seen him. I'll tell you about
but
a game
of
golf.
But you've got to fitted the golf in too.
I'll tell you about a game of golf that I played on Monday, Don, with our guest. Now, have a listen to this.
Who's our guest?
The man we're going to interview.
What's his name?
Dally Messenger, the third. We're going to interview him. Did you not know that?
No.
That doesn't matter anyhow.
I did.
You did know?
Yes.
Okay, so
call this place? It's got ears everywhere. What do you call it? Docklands.
He asked me, did I want to join him, because I have coffee with a group of people who live in my tower.
Like Peyton Pice, this.
Well, have a listen to this, Don. You couldn't make this up. He asked me, did I want to play 9 holes out at a golf course called Westgate. Westgate Golf Course, a public course which is under the Westgate Bridge. That's why it's called Westgate. Okay. So listen to this. So I put Westgate Golf Club in the Google machine, right? And the woman says on the thing, yes, go down here, turn right under the bridge, and I go down and I see one of the fairways and I drive down and there's a car park and I drive in, and the woman on the Google machine
says... It was a woman.
Well, it would sound like a woman, okay. On the maps, you know, Google Maps.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
She says, you have arrived at your destination. So I get out the car and I see a young lass having a cigarette over by one of the walls, just by the building. And I said, where is the office? Oh, you think I'm making this up. Where is the office? And she said, oh, just around there. So I walk around and I walk into the office and I said, how much is it? How much is it? There's four of us, into the office of the golf club, what I thought was the golf club. And she said, it's $75. I said, so it's $300, is it, for four of us to play, and she said, yes. I said, this is 18? 18 or and she said, yeah, they're 18. Got to be 18. And I said, wow. I said, and she said, it's. Do you want just the $75 or do you want the extra? And I said, what's the extra? She said, well, it's $90 if you want the extra. I know you think I'm making this up. And I said, what is the extra? She said, well, have you been here before? And I said, no, of course I haven't been here before. That's why I'm asking all these questions. She said, you look familiar. And I said, really, do I? I said, well, anyhow, I haven't been here before. She said, well, it's extra, $90 if you want a happy ending.
Oh, bullshit.
Don.
Come on.
Don. I said to her...
what's that, a hole in one on the last?
Don,
a happy ending.
I said to her, what did you say then? She said, do you want the $75 or $90 for a happy ending?
Oh, Dad, now you've gone to the wrong... You've gone to a bloody knock shop.
I have.
Where's the knock shop down there, the golf course?
It's on the other side of the freeway. The Google Maps takes you to what... So I said to her, I think I'm... This is not the Westgate office to the golf club. She said... No, this is a brothel. I said...
you're an idiot. She knew you from... been frequenting it?
So, when...
She recognised you.
Well, she obviously didn't recognise me from going there, but she probably recognised me...
Probably recognised me from the media.
I don't know.
No, I think you've frequented a few of those. She's probably done a trip around.
Don, if I've frequented the Westgate brothel...
You might have frequented some others where she was working.
Well, this wasn't the girl who was outside having a cigarette. This was the woman in the office.
Receptionist.
So I go round to the... So I get back in the car and I go across the freeway to the actual Westgate Golf Club and I walk in and I said to the bloke behind the counter, I said, you won't believe what's just happened to me. He said, don't tell me. You Googled where to go and it took you to the brothel. I said, it does. He said, we have told Google Maps or we've told the people responsible... Everyone gets sent there because they plug in, if you haven't been to the Westgate Golf Club, they plug in Westgate Golf Club and it takes them to the car park of the brothel. So that was an interesting start. That was an interesting start to my day. When she said, I said 75, and when I said 18, I said, what did you mean 18? She said, well, the girls have got to be over 18. I said, oh, I meant, which is at 18 holes of golf. So we got off on the wrong foot on about eight different occasions. And when she said...
So what is this, a nine-hole golf course under the bridge?
Yes. And you go around...
What, par three?
No, it's not. There's four really? Par threes and four par threes and five par fours.
Oh, okay.
And if you want to play 18, you just go around...
Twice,
but you hit off different tees. They have different tees. So we only played nine holes. This was with Dally M, Dally Messenger, who's coming in. We're going to speak to him. So I told him that, and I said, gee, Dally, I could have got you a happy ending over at the other side of the freeway.
He's a man of the cloth.
A man of the cloth, yes. And he said, well, I don't. Anyhow.
We'll ask him.
You can ask him then.
Okay.
So I'm going to just mention this before we go any further, Don. I feel grateful. I know.
Talking about sex, I watched a show the other night.
All right, will you go now then?
Can I please?
I'll tell you why I feel grateful
just
in a minute.
Google. Now, you should never, you always have high expectations if somebody recommends something. But there was a film. There is a film on Netflix called Dirty Grandpa.
I've started to watch it.
I thought I'd turn it off after 10 minutes, but at the 10-minute mark...
Robert De Niro, isn't it?
Yeah, Robert.
Who's an asshole.
At the 10-minute mark, it got me.
Really?
I was about to turn it off, but at the 10-minute mark, it got me. That's all I'm saying.
Don, I watched about 20 minutes of it, hoping it would make me laugh. It was the most.
Although I thought the first scene was very funny.
Oh, what? Where he's
getting... People might want to look at it.
Don.
Don't upset.
It is the most puerile, dopey, smutty bullshit from Robert De Niro, who is an arsehole for a start.
Oh, jeez. Just take it for what it is.
So his grandson or his
very
son walks
very
into
good
the
actor.
Bedroom and he's... giving himself a...
Listen, that'll do. He's
pulling his dick in front of a porno.
You've got another topic? You've ruined this for everybody.
It was pathetic.
No, you've ruined
and
it for everybody.
And the double entendres and the innuendo of all the dialogue was pathetic. I mean, why would he make a film like that? It was ridiculous. They couldn't work out how to be more smutty and more stupid in a film, and that's good coming from me. Now, Don, I feel grateful. That just moving on to a completely different topic. I'm just going to mention this, and
If you go to that bloody
well,
Trump,
unless you're following what's going on over in the States,
I've been following it. Okay. I just turn the television off. Tune out, mate.
I feel grateful. I've been.
Grateful.
I feel grateful I've been around to see the once great country of the United States decline into absolute chaos. Let me tell you what's happening to that country, Don.
Oh, please.
And it's going to go on for another year. The head of the Navy under Joe Biden is a man dressed as a woman. It's a man dressed as a woman. That's Rachel Levine. The head of the nuclear waste disposal unit is a drag queen. I'm telling you this. This is where this country's headed. Is a drag queen who has stolen clothes off the carousel at airports from women who come and visit the country and then wears their clothes on television. And so blatant is this felon and thief who has been appointed the nuclear waste drag person, that the woman whose clothes they wore in Brazil saw them on CNN and said, "They're my clothes." Came over and they arrested. Yeah, so that's who this is. This is the
but
country.
But they're in a case of wokeism, aren't they? All the countries that are suffering from this wokeism.
This is the man who's head of the nuclear waste. He's a drag queen. He wears lipstick and got a 3-day growth on his beard. He wears stuff. John Fetterman is a U.S. senator who can't speak. He has had 3 strokes. He can't speak and can only be spoken to if you put the words down on a word processor. We've got Dianne Feinstein, who's a 90-year-old person who is in a wheelchair and has got dementia.
Bullshit.
Don, this is this country.
They'll be on sick leave, surely.
No, they use their votes.
Their vote.
That's what they do, Don. Yeah. Uh-huh. They represent no one. They can't speak. They can't stand. They've got a president who is retarded. He falls over if there's a strong wind.
I feel sorry for the man. Do you think there's something?
Of course.
I've watched him.
Of course you feel sorry.
Sometimes he sounds... quite Don, coherent.
Because he reads it all.
Oh, does he?
Of course he does. He reads it all. He's got notes. I feel sorry for him. Fancy his family
is
pushing him.
Is there something
him.
Wrong with him when he walks?
There's something
wrong with
his... He's got
stilted.
Dementia. Yes, he's completely and mentally and physically fucked. The vice president is Kamala Harris, is a gibbering... idiot.
Right.
She is a clown.
Oh.
These are the people that are trying to... they had a topless They had a topless drag queen come and perform for Joe Biden at the White House during the week. This is while China...
We had the same thing happened in the Victorian State Parliament. We had the drag queens reading stories to kids in, with the Premier there.
Yeah, no, Don, I rest my case. So that's where this state's headed. So I'm just telling you, I feel so grateful that I've been around to see the person... who will save that country, they're trying to put in jail by trumped up charges, which they've been doing since 2016. They're trying to stop him running against all those people who can't speak, can't talk, dress up as other people. That's where that country's headed. And if you watch it, it's fantastic to watch because the support that man, Trump, is going to get. Because they look at the alternative and they think, holy mackerel, I'm not sure that we care what he's done. He's the only saviour for that country. And they're trying to put him in jail because they fear him.
Talking about New York or America, in New York I have an acquaintance who's over there at the moment who cannot believe the softness of the Americans in New York complaining about the smoke that is coming from the Canadian fires. He said, what next?
Yeah, but because, Don, they use it as a climate change tool.
Stay sick leave and whatever else. He said it is incredible. The hue and cry from the New Yorkers with regard to this smoke, he said, wow.
Well done, Don, spot on. And that's why that country is in decline like you wouldn't believe for a whole lot of different reasons, because it's run by buffoons, by people who have an agenda that is outside the rank and file of what people expect governments to be. Now, Don. I wanted to give a shout outs particularly to the two people who were in the golf office at the Westgate golf course. I said, I'll give you a shout out because I told them of the story about me going to the wrong, and they found that terribly humorous. So I said, I'll give you a shout out, and their names are Don.
Do they know you do a podcast?
Yeah, they do.
They do.
The man's name was...
You want a hand?
David and Sean. They were in the office of the Westgate Golf Club. And while I was there, I met a number of people who listened to the podcast. So David
and Sean...
You
did a bit of a show for them?
What?
You did a bit of a show for them? You got an audience, so away you went?
No, this was after I finished the nine holes of golf.
You gave them entertainment afterwards.
Not at all, no. I told David and Sean, I said, I've had an interesting start to the day. I went over to the golf.
Yeah, okay, you've told us that story.
No, that's right. So I'm just giving them a shout out.
Okay.
And then later on that day, I had a painting done of me by a bloke on a roller skate.
Now, they tell me they were selling tickets to it.
Yes.
And he's on...
Phoebe came along.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm. And it's a bloke on a skateboard goes up and down on a half pipe and paints while he goes past a canvas.
Oh, how did you fall into this?
Well, because I was on... Here's another long-winded...
explanation of
I was on 3AW Midnight to Dawn with Tony Moclair. And...
This idiot was...
woman rang in and said... Sam, there's a bloke who does this. She said, "Would you be a subject so he could paint?" No. And Tony said, "Oh yes, on my behalf." So Tony Moclair and Phoebe and we all went along, and Woody, who is the producer, and I had my photo, my painting done.
What's it like? Did you take a pic of it?
I'll show you in a minute. I've got it on the phone, and I met. Three people there who listened to the podcast. One of them was Shane and Lockie and Shane and Joel, Shane and Lockie. And Brett Ashby was the bloke who did the painting. And while he was painting, he had...
He was collecting the money.
He had chanting music going on in the background with a didgeridoo. It was actually very, very, it was very religious.
But they were, so they had tickets. Who was collecting the money?
If you not say, mine, wouldn't collect the money.
Closer to you or closer to the stage, it was X amount, and up the back it was X
and
amount.
And the people who were providing the music, they had didgeridoos, and it was actually very good. Christian and Emmanuel, I wanted to mention them, and they have a company called Acacia.
What do they do?
That's the name of their
Acacia or Acacia?
Acacia or Acacia. It's A-C-A-X-I-A, Acacia. Oh.
Okay.
So I'm mentioning all those people, Don, and didgeridoo was very, very
now,
nice.
Now, how come you didn't get paid for it, whereas he was charging tickets? Well, I heard they're up to $300, ringside tickets, $300.
I haven't heard that, Don.
Oh, you haven't?
I know, I haven't heard that.
How do you get trapped into these things?
Well, you went along to the... Well, let me tell you this. You went along to the Hawthorne players' reunion the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, life members.
That's right. And someone said they saw you there. Who said they saw you there? And they said, how do you get trapped into that?
Well, I go it's a life members' reunion. I go to it each year.
So you got invited?
You were invited last year and we went out to the Mulgrave Country Club. Yes. This year the venue was the MCG.
You're inducted as a legend.
Now, the interesting thing about
Hang on. How did you get invited?
Because I'm a bloody life member.
So someone invited you and you went. Someone invited me to have my painting done and I went.
Okay. Interesting about that. That is the first time I've been to a home and away game of football for 22 years. 22 years to the MCG.
Was it good?
Well, did you realise you cannot get any car park? Well, I didn't know this, but you can't get car parking at the MCG anymore. It's only for people who work there and disabled. So I was driving around Richmond trying to find a car spot. They have 2-hour car spots. And I reckon the inspectors be right out after you because it's a council that,
Now I'm just showing you the painting
Why haven't we got a camera?
Just showing you the painting. I did. He did. That's me down in the bottom there.
Mm.
Anyhow, so that's why I went, because I was asked to do it.
Anyway, did you want to hear about the football?
I do want to hear about the football.
Okay. Now, the council in Richmond is green, but, you know, I think they were charging or were going to charge for something to do with waste, but this is another revenue maker for them. 2-hour parking. Bridge Road is as dead as a dodo. I couldn't find a car spot anywhere near the MCG. I finished up going into the Epworth Hospital car park. $60 for the afternoon it cost.
Yep.
$60 to go to the
footy. Cheap.
Is it?
Yeah, you go to a car park, it's at least $100 if you go to all those Wilson car parks.
What, in the city?
Yeah, in the city.
Really?
Did you go to the game?
I went to the game, very, very
interesting. Did they do Welcome to Country?
No, I didn't think so. I don't know. I was inside, but I came out. But I've come away, the MCG has got to be one of the greatest sporting venues.
Yes.
In the world.
It is.
It is unbelievable. The attendance on gate one, unbelievably helpful.
Yep.
And they're very socially aware and they're very aware because they're in the hospitality industry. Very, very helpful. Why haven't they, and I hope the Richmond Council puts a bit of a mandate or a covenant on the old houses out there, why did they get rid of the members at the MCG? You remember the old stand?
The John Graysmith stand. The Graysmith stand.
Was it? The old stand. I thought they could incorporate that.
They haven't got rid of the members.
The members is there, but you remember the old stand. I thought we've got a thing here in Australia, we pull down the old. We don't preserve or look at the past. Sydney's got a decent grandstand. I hope they never muck around with that, the members stand at Sydney.
The members stand still there?
It's not. Remember, it used to be unique. It used to have corrugated iron roof that was painted red.
Oh, corrugated. I'm sorry, Don. You and know, they didn't have any
where other... Where we sat that day, you went through the bloke's...
Corrugated iron roof. Holy mackerel, Don. They've upgraded it to join the 21st century.
Well, I don't care. I think should respect.
You'd like to sit.
I think they could have incorporated
that. If it rains and hear the rain on the corrugated iron roof, would you?
Incorporated that into the rest of the
mackerel. They didn't have any other stands around the Graysmith stand back in the long time ago.
But they could build it up both. Anyway, that's my thing. The other interesting thing was the way football's played nowadays.
Exactly.
Now, I can get a bit of a grip on it, and for television they really should have a long shot and pull back and just give us a look at the whole venue, the whole ground. I came away thinking there is no difference between league football and watching under-10s play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference is that the league footballers are very quicker. They're far more skilled. But still, I don't believe there's a contest. There's so many people around the ball, they don't pick a man up. And the skill, they shoot the ball anyway. As long as they can get rid of the ball with a hand pass, their job's done. It doesn't necessarily have to go to advantage. Mm-hmm. Then they all take off when the ball gets... into an advantageous position with regard to the pack.
You've just realised
there's about
this,
four of them take off. They scream, and now I can understand them doing this because if the forward gets on it, he just keeps running towards goal. If the backman gets there, he's got to turn back. Okay, so he can be restrained. Mm. But wouldn't you? And a couple of times they had to hold the ball up. Wouldn't you?
Because there was no one ahead of them.
Yes. Wouldn't you put somebody up on the forward line?
Wouldn't
that could
you think
run
you'd do
at
that,
the ball?
Don?
Run at the ball up the ground and give them an option, because a lot of times they can get the ball out quicker. They're by themselves, but they stop.
That's extraordinary. You've just got onto this. This has
been
going on.
No, because you don't pick it up when you're watching it.
This is why I don't go to the football. Don't watch it. It
22
is
years.
A mishmash of nonsense. And you've hit it right on the head, Don.
The other thing is...
Until someone changes the paradigm, the way the game's played...
I thought they were bringing in... They're trying to stop congestion. And they do it by... the way they line up for the bounce. Now, talking about the bounce, 45 seconds it takes. Now, they're waiting around. They can change blokes off the bench. Now, I thought it was a game of attrition. If you weren't fit enough to run back in our time, they'd bring the ball back quickly, they'd bounce the ball, and on it goes again. Now, that was part of the game, test your fitness.
Ooh.
But they wait 45 seconds to bounce that ball.
It would be something to do with OH&S, Don, or
but
be
tell
some
me the other thing
union
is, why do some
can't...
umpires bounce the ball and others throw it up at the centre?
Oh, just to accommodate for the women who can't bounce the ball, and the men say that they put their back out.
Come on.
No, that's true.
Listen, they were bouncing the ball around the ground back in the 70s in the mud packs.
Don... The reason they are getting rid of the bounce is because the women can't do it and the men say they're hurting their backs.
The game is compromised. It is no longer
really?
The game that it was. I'm very sorry. I'm not living in the past.
No.
I'm not.
I
and
agree
one
with
player
you.
That really did, I think, geez, he's not a bad player, is a young bloke called Charlie Cameron from Brisbane.
Is he?
Cool. God.
Oh,
he can jump. He's got a football brain.
So someone got 3 weeks for a brutal bump.
And that's another weak thing in football
nowadays. A brutal bump.
Yeah, but no, wasn't there a sling tackle as well?
Got an aggressive tackle.
Yeah, but that's a cheap shot, John. These sling tackles are very, very cheap.
Well, in the spur...
They're like a king hit in our day. King hit.
Bullshit.
It is.
You're defenceless. At the moment, when you're trying to grab someone with the ball and he gets rid of it and the motion to sling him down to the ground...
Sorry.
Anyhow...
We used to just stand there restrained. Once the bloke was restrained, that was it. You never threw a bloke to the ground. I did not.
You used to sling tackle people?
I did not.
You used to spin them around like you were trying to launch a little model aeroplane.
I know what I did.
Round your head like a hammer throw.
We never thought about it because we had other means of expressing our aggression.
That's right. You kick them in the agates.
Well, you'd hit them from behind.
That's right. All that. The brutal bump. Who got 3 weeks for a brutal bump?
Oh, some bloke.
It's a brutal bump. What's a brutal bump, hitting him too hard.
And the other thing, I watched a little bit of the football. These guys have got no awareness of what's going on. And you know what it comes back to? The way they've been taught from kids. They never play kick to kick like, learning to protect yourself in the schoolyard. Young King, who played for St Kilda up in Sydney the other night, goes up in a pack and comes down in a heap because he doesn't know how to jump. He's in a pack, doesn't know how to...
How Carlton going?
Oh,
Things the clubs rot from the fish. the head of the fish rots first.
I think you're being a bit harsh there.
Am I?
Haven't they go? What about the raw material called players?
What about so Luke Sayers is
What about him?
He's the president.
So
He's part of the PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Yeah, but hang on.
Hang on a minute.
Hang on. The club's being run by Brian Cook. Brian Cook's running the club.
Luke Sayers is the man who told his staff at PwC when Trump got elected as president, he said, if you want counselling, we'll pay for your counselling because Trump got... anyone that has that mindset and is in the trouble that he's in at PwC, how would he be running that club? On what basis would he have that job?
I don't know.
Holy mackerel. They're very disgruntled, the people at Carlton.
Chemist, have you done shout-outs? I'd like to acknowledge Chemist Warehouse in Mornington, in Central.
Go ahead, Don.
Remember a couple of weeks ago I said I couldn't get any Maxalt?
Yeah,
what? High-grain tablets?
Yeah.
I had one the other day, another Mife.
Did you, Don?
Oh, shit.
The man texted us and said I couldn't... I texted you and he said that they had stock of them in.
Yeah, I went down. He got in contact. I really appreciate that. Chemist Warehouse in Mornington.
Oh, good.
They've gone out of their way to help.
Have they got Kate Saves Be Fit Food in there?
They have it up at the Mornington Tyre Road store. It's funny how you go into these places. Yeah, I went into... Yeah, and there's Kate's... food right up in the front counter. She might have replaced L'Oreal or someone like that, a big name. She's right up at the counter, front counter.
Yeah. We might have replaced L'Oreal.
L'Oreal.
Yeah.
You know, the
makeup.
People.
Yeah, I know. The makeup. What?
Right at the point of sale, she is. And so some of her lines have been used too. They've got to replenish it.
Have you been in contact with Kate? She got any specials or anything on?
No.
Because we're still eating the food. Love it.
Well, I had it on the weekend.
Did you?
Well, I think I've got to stop because I've lost a bit too much.
Another shout out, Don, to John.
John who?
John who? John is a golf technician. I'm not allowed to mention where he's a golf.
What, at the public golf course underneath the Westgate?
John, he's out.
He's not out there.
A prestigious golf course he is. He's
Royal Melbourne.
Not right.
No, okay. Well, let me think. You go. Where else you go?
Bodio.
What's that thing called down there?
No, I can't. Not. He said, don't mention where I.
Well, the other prestigious one. There's Royal Melbourne, Keysborough. What about that other thing called Capital?
What?
Well, you know that's. It's a down.
I can't mention.
At the back of what is it?
By the Moorabbin Airport.
Yeah, beside
there. Well, that is the capital there, but I can't mention where John is. He runs the show out at a golf course. He said, don't mention the golf course because...
Why?
Well, I don't know. Some people...
Many people play at that. And talking about capital.
Well, I didn't say he was from the capital, did I?
Okay.
And he said, a bit like Dr. Ben, who said his wife Jody doesn't listen, he said... I love the podcast, but his wife says, what are you listening to that crap for? And he told me a very humorous anecdote. Do you remember when you used to bring the cards in and read out those ridiculous questions about how he said, you did this once before and she happened to hear him listening to the podcast and your question was, you said, I'll do it at random, you said, what length... does a man ejaculate when he masturbates? What length does the sperm come out of his penis? And she said, that is a disgrace. And he said she walked out of the room and he laughed and he was like, because you gave the answer, it can be 3 feet or 10 feet, depending what a head of steam you got up. And she said, you're ridiculous listening to that crap. And... she said, incidentally, she said, what was the answer? He said, she is a sort of a de facto listener. So I can't mention where John works, but John's a very, very good man. And so that's a shout out to him. Now, Ian Cook. he's up and running again, as in the court case.
I got a song composed by Ian Cook over the week.
I know. It's a very clever song to the tune of Bye Bye Miss American Pie. Took my levy to the Chevy, or Chevy to the levy, because the levy was dry. And it is very, very clever words to it, saying how he has been done over in the most disgraceful, dishonest and corrupt treatment of a private business by the Andrews government. Brett Sutton involved, lied about his involvement in it, and they have got a new counsel, a new team of legal people, and they're going to keep going with this. They're going to keep going because of all the corrupt and dishonest things that have happened to the Andrews government that are just as list as long as your arm. This is probably the most egregious, Don, because this is taking out of business by stealth and by dishonest means a private enterprise business that was taken out in favour of the government-run operation called Community Chef, which subsequently went under too because it was mismanaged. And Ian Cook and his company and family have paid the price, and they are still trying to seek compensation for the disgraceful treatment, dishonest and illegal treatment they received. Don,
I'm trying to find the song.
Yes, I've got it on.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I'll play you a snippet of it.
Yeah, do that.
Well, good on you, Don. Well, I'll just get it up. So here it is. Here, this is the snippet. This is I wonder if he's got paid copyright for it. here it is. Here, just a minute.
Elizabeth Garlick dropped a slimy slug.
You're listening to this?
My word.
With council's mission of killing off their competition and makes Slugger Sutton happy with her style.
Well, there it goes on and on. It's a very clever song to the words, and it tells you exactly the story of how Ian Cook's company, I Cook Food, out of business.
I think they're up on the 1st of July.
They got a new legal team.
I think they're up again on the 1st of July, maybe in court.
So people ask us, why have we dropped off I Cook Food? We haven't. We saw an article that Andrew Rule did in the paper during last week. And that prompted me to ring Ian to say what's going on. So Andrew Rule's following it up, very confident and capable journalist.
How do you think Brett Sutton will go at the CSIRO?
How do I think he'll go? Yeah. Well, it depends. Is it just been moved on? Is this another government appointee,
kind of
another sort of pork barrelling? I don't know. What's CSIRO mean?
Commonwealth Serum and Research. Something,
Commonwealth Serum CSIRO Research Organisation. Is he a doctor?
No, he's a professor.
Oh, professor.
But as universities hand out professorships if you go do a few readings.
They do, Don. So there we are. So that's I Cook Foods. Now, Marion Pickett. Do you know Marion Pickett? Is it Marion?
Marlon, you idiot.
Marlon.
You're an
idiot. Marlon.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Marlon Pickett. He has got suspended.
No, he hasn't got suspended.
He got suspended from Richmond for a week.
Oh, they didn't say suspension. They're giving him a rest. Overcome the troubles that he's in at the moment.
For a week?
Yes.
What? They're reasonable troubles, aren't they?
Well, he's been charged. I mean, he's been charged.
And they've stood him down for a week.
Yeah, so he wanted to play.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see we've just got one set of rules for everyone, then if they've stopped him playing. Because if it was anyone else, Don, we're treading on eggshells. Of course, we're treading on eggshells, and which leads me to this next question. This next point: Do you know Aussies fear being labelled racists if they vote?
I do.
If they vote against
the
Voice.
What is racism? Can you tell me what it is?
I'll tell you what racism is.
Yes, I'd be very interested.
If you decry, debase, or devalue someone, think you're superior than them or try to dominate them, that is the definition of racism.
Well, you're a racist because you try and dominate everybody.
Well, that's exactly why I'm not a racist.
Yes, you
No, hang on. You said I
try and... You're a control freak.
You said I try and dominate everybody.
That's it.
So we don't discriminate. If you're our dickhead...
So you're inferring that I'm a dickhead.
If I think you're a dickhead, I'll tell you.
But you think everyone's a dickhead.
Don, I'm trying to tell you, this is exactly why we're not racists. We treat everyone the same. If I think you're a dickhead, Don, I say you are. And if I think someone from a different skin colour is a dickhead, I'll say they are, I think they are. But if you say that, that automatically gives some people the right to call you a racist. We call people out no matter who they are. And we cop it and we give it out. That's exactly why we're not racists. And to say that if you don't advocate, have a yes vote for The Voice, I think it's the most ridiculous thing. It is a divisive document. No one knows what it is, and I urge everyone not to vote for The Voice.
You've got to tell the people to go and do some research.
Would you have to do research at this stage? It's been going on for a year. Wouldn't they be able to tell you what it is?
I've been trying to find out.
It's a crock of nonsense, Don.
Yeah, but why don't they give us a few facts as to what it all is?
Because they don't have any. It's just a ploy to placate their own fear about who they think they are by giving an extra voice when they don't need it. The Indigenous people don't need an extra voice. They got 10 people in Parliament for 3% of the population. They get $50 billion a year. Look, it's just nonsense, Don. That is actually reverse racism. That's saying we want to treat everyone the same. This is our country. I take exception to being welcome to our country on a daily basis. I've been here longer. I've been on the planet longer than any of those people who are welcoming to their country. It's not their country, it's our country.
Now,
and
talking about
they
politics.
Keep dividing us,
okay.
Don.
Just change the subject. Politics. You've followed the Brittany Higgins little thing that's going on up in Canberra.
What about those two peasants?
Now, hang on. The interesting thing
who
that
are
nobody's
the two peasants?
Picked that haven't... Two... One thing that I picked up...
Lisa Wilkinson
and
Peter Fitzsimons. What clowns those two people are.
Have you looked at her current boyfriend, David Schwartz? I think it's Schwartz or Schwartz his name is. And Bruce Lehman. Is there any similarities between the two?
I don't know what they look like.
Well, go and have a look. Because that's what I thought. Jeez, isn't this interesting?
What a disgrace that has turned out to be. That is... How long does it take you to get $3 million from someone if you think you've been maligned? It takes a year through the courts. They've just given it out. They gave it out within a day.
Mm. But anyway, just have a look at David Schwartz and Bruce Lehman next time you have a look and see if there's any similarity. I did a double take.
You reckon Miss Higgins mistook...
No, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying there's a remarkable resemblance.
How does Wilkinson and Fitzsimons get off scot-free?
They're not getting off scot-free. They're in a bit of hot water.
Oh, good.
Now, listen, your girlfriend.
Yeah.
The little girl, young lady, a very accomplished young lady that you met at the Grand Prix reception. And you conducted a conversation with her for half an hour.
The jockey?
You didn't know who she was?
No, I didn't.
No? Well, what do you do, my dear? I did. Well, the young lady rode a running double yesterday at Ballarat. In the last five horses she's had running, she got four winners out of the last five. And I would say she's probably the only rider trainer. This is where you train and ride the horse yourself. To have a running double. Maybe the first. So she's first female to win the Melbourne Cup.
Tell us her name.
Michelle Payne.
Yeah.
Idiot.
No, I was introduced to her at the.
I know, but you didn't know who she was.
I didn't. Well, I knew her name, right. But I didn't when I.
She's a very attractive young lady. She would have been done up to the nines
done
too.
Done up like a she was looked a star. And I said hello. And I said, "What do you do?" She said, "I'm in the horse business." I think she said she didn't. And I said, "What do you do?" And she said, "I sort of ride them." And I said, "Do you now?" Oh, this is a bit like the brothel over at me saying.
Oh, so you're in. What?
This is a bit like
Why
me going.
Why would you
to,
bring the brothel in with Michelle?
Because
Payne?
We were talking on cross purposes for a bit until I realised what I was
talking. What you were doing.
Yes.
Right.
And I said, "You ride horses, do you?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, good on you." I said, "Well, what where do you ride them?" She said, "Oh, race courses." I said, "What's your name?" She said, "Michelle Payne." I said, "Holy mackerel, Michelle! I'm holy Michelle. Mackerel. What's her name?
Michelle.
What's her name? Michelle Payne.
No, Michelle Payne.
What's her name?" Anyway, I said, "Holy mackerel! I'm really sorry. I did. I know your name, obviously. I know who you are, but I didn't recognise you. Look at you. You look fantastic." She did too.
I think she's put another colour through her hair too. Just looking at the ratios today, she might have had a different colour hair. She's changed. But anyway, she rode a running double at Ballarat yesterday, and she's on fire at the moment.
Now, Don,
as a trainer. Four wins in the last five runners. That's over the weekend.
Don,
what?
So we're going to stop now, and then we're coming back to finish off this, and then we've got our guest coming in. So it's been good. You've been good today.
No, I'd just like to talk about face.
Now, hang on. We're going to do it. We're going to do it, but just give us a chance to.
I'd like to promote.
Where's the music? There it is, that we're off.
I'm moping around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you